Matthew chapter number 27, just as was just sung about the Lord's Son, the Lord Jesus, or God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to the cross in this passage of Scripture. And it's a sad night. It's the night of our Lord's crucifixion that we read of, yet what a glorious night. That is the night of our redemption being paid for. Knowing how precious our Lord is, and He is a precious Savior. Amen. He's a beautiful Savior. He's the heavenly bridegroom, the rose of Sharon, the lily of valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest among the fairest, greater than the greatest. He's more mightier than the mightiest. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. And we read here in this passage of Scripture how this Savior, whom we speak and rejoice about, is being led to the cross. I'd like you to please start reading, and let's, if you're able, let's stand as we read these Scriptures, for these are precious Scriptures, and I want us to stop and look at them and then pray. Verse number 26, it says this, "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please take the message this morning. I know you gave me this message. I know how you spoke to me. And I just pray that, Lord, you'd open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law today. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God would teach us. Lord, encourage us, rebuke us. Whatever our spiritual need is, I pray that, Lord, the Spirit would have free reign in our lives today. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you just please help us to think on these things and not just be a hearer, but a doer. I pray we'd come before your word this morning humbly, asking you, God, to teach us something. And Lord, I just pray you just use your word now to help us. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They took our precious Savior. And what is done in these verses that we read about is a travesty. What they did to the Lord, to kind of summarize there in verse number 29, where it says that they mocked him. Everything that you read in these verses, they did to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's I'm a sarcastic person, if you didn't know that. I enjoy having a good time. But there's a fine line between offending and having fun. And it's wrong to mock someone. Especially in a situation and what's going on in this passage of Scripture, how they only had one purpose, and that was to mock the Lord Jesus Christ, to belittle him, to berate him, to bring him down, not just to their level, but below their level. Right. And understand that through all of this, if the Lord wanted to, at just the thought, he could have ended it all. Right. At just the thought, there would have been angel, and it would only take one, much less a host, but to stop the wickedness that was being done. But he allowed it to continue for one purpose. And that purpose is us. For the joy that was set before him, Hebrews says, he endured the cross. What was that joy that was set before him? It was us with him for all of eternity. He did all of that so that we could have a relationship with him. Yet what they did in these verses, how they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, was and should be hideous to us. Especially when we understand who the Lord Jesus is. Where would we be without the Lord Jesus Christ? What hope would we have without the Lord Jesus Christ? He ought to be precious to us. He ought to be our hero. Amen? I mean, you know, you think, you know, we would all be headed towards a lake of fire if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. We would have no hope. Our lives would be a mess. Probably most of us would be dead by now. The lives that we were headed towards. But God in His mercy reached out to us. We learned about salvation and what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I'm so thankful for what He's done for me. I'm thankful. You ought to be thankful for what He's done for you. And that He paid for our sins upon the cross. We can have forgiveness from a holy God because of what His Son did for us on the cross. They mocked Him. You know, I would like to think, you know, I grew up, you know, and I unfortunately heard a few, not many, but I heard a few people that didn't like, you know, my grandpa. A few people didn't like my dad. I've heard people mock them. I've heard people say things about them. And that's one of the rough things about growing up being pastor's son or pastor's grandson is when things are said, it really hurts. Because it's not just your pastor, that's your dad, right? My grandpa or whatever the case was. And to hear people mock them, well, you heard what he said, and you're just like, my flesh said, punch them, right? But my spirit said, be kind. And I heard my mom saying, just be quiet, Travis. Right? You know, and we got through those times. You know, but much less, we just don't think about it enough, how they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it took to belittle Him. How did they mock Him? I want you to see a couple things real quick. In verse number 26, I want you to know they mocked His harmlessness. He was only there to save them. And as far as I know, one of the men that was gathered in this hall that mocked Him ended up getting saved. A centurion standing at the foot of the cross looked up and said, this must and is the Son of God. But at this point, He who came to die for their sins, they mocked Him. They brought Him in and they made fun of Him. They mocked and they mocked His harmlessness and the fact there in verse number 26 that they released Barabbas. Who is Barabbas? According to John chapter number 18 and verse number 40, Barabbas was a thief. The Bible says he robbed the people. He was the thief. And to take it another step, according to Mark chapter 15 and verse number 7, he also was a murderer. He was, in that same passage, an insurrectionist. This man Barabbas has caused problems. This man Barabbas had robbed the people. This man Barabbas had murdered some of their friends and family. Yet they said, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. They mocked His harmlessness and the fact that they said, he who is innocent, let him be put to death. He who is guilty, let him be free. And they released this thief, this robber, this rioter, this murderer. He was able to walk the streets and to be set free by, and the one who came, who is the only one who's ever been judged in this world, who is completely innocent of all wrongdoing, was found guilty and put to death. They mocked His harmlessness, and that the one who had done nothing ever, that Pilate looked at Him and even said, I find no fault in this man, and then delivered Him up to be scourged and mocked. That is a mockery of harmlessness. The only one who would never do anything to harm them or hurt them, but only to love them and save them, they said, let him be crucified. It was a mockery of His harmlessness. But then you see in verse number 27, a mockery of a house. It says in verse 27, and the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. I say a mockery of a house in this light. They took him to what the Bible says here in this passage as a common hall. In the other Gospels, it calls it the praetorium. Now, what is the common hall or the praetorium? Well, Herod had built him a palace. And what they would do is they'd take in these times, to my understanding and studying all this, that they would take, and when the Romans came in, they would build a palace around the old king's palace. And they would take the old king's palace and make it the common hall to kind of show off. You know what I mean by that? Like if some, you know, rich guy came to Blanchester for some reason, right? And he went to my house and he bought my house, but he built his house around my house and used my house as the porch. Does that all make sense? That's what they would do. That's what the praetorium was, the old king's house. But the Romans showed off and saying, hey, that's nothing, right? Y'all with me on that, all right? But the one thing about it, the praetorium is where the king or the governor, in this case Pilate, where his soldiers would be there to stand guard, to keep peace. Anybody, lots of people had issues with Pilate, but you weren't allowed to come past and into the common hall. That was a place of peace. That was a place of quietness. Everything else was kept out. And the guards were stationed there because everything was kept out. Still following me? It was a mockery of the house because all this stuff wasn't to happen there. It should have been out. The Pilate let it happen. And the soldiers took a place that's supposed to be a place of peace. The soldiers took a place that was supposed to be a place of quietness, security. That's why the soldiers lived there. And in that place, they did hideous things. In that place, verse number 26, they scourged Jesus. In that place, that the scourging, they would take a cat of nine tails, and they would take, and you all know this, they would take someone who was trained in this, a whip, and this is hideous and it's gross, but it's what they did as part of mocking our Savior. If you're really God, stop this. And they whipped that. At the end of those leather straps, those nine leather straps would have been rocks, sharp rocks, glass. And just like a fisherman will set the hook, they'd wrap it around the body and then give it a tug. It'd sink into the flesh. And then they'd rip that back and literally rip the flesh. Isaiah said it this way, they plowed my back. Just like a farmer would plow the field, the Lord's back was plowed with this. You say, that's gross. It's terrible. It is. And it should bother us they did that to our Savior. But understand, they did that. He did allow that for our sake. For Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his we are healed. He allowed it because he was paying for our sins. We deserve that. But he took that upon himself. And in this place of quietness and security and peace, there was all this violence going on as they scourged the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in verse 27, this band of soldiers got together. They drew a crowd. Everybody came in. Only supposed to be a few stationed there, but all the soldiers came in because they weren't going to miss this. And they didn't gather to worship him or to protest on his behalf. They came for one reason, to make fun of him. They came and a big crowd got together and they laughed and they pointed. We heard you're God. We heard that you can do anything. We heard that you do miracles. Well, stop this. As they punched him in the face. The other gospel says they would blindfold him and say, if you're really a prophet who you claim to be, then guess and say the name of the one who just struck you. And then they punched him in the face. That's what they got together for. To mock Jesus. They mocked his harmlessness. They mocked his house, this house. Number three, they mocked his honor. They mocked his honor. In verse number 28, they stripped him. They took his clothes off of him just to shame him. They were abusing him. They stripped him. They put on a scarlet robe. They found this scarlet robe, threw it on him to make fun of him. They said, "Oh, you want to be a king, huh?" And they threw the scarlet robe upon him, and then in verse number 29, they went and got some thorns. The Jewish thorns were 6 to 12 inches long, and what they that's what was typically, and most people agree that's what they used. They made a wreath out of it, or a crown, and then they placed it upon his head, pressing those thorns into his skull. They then took a reed, club, stick, and they put it in his hand like a scepter. And then they all got in front of him and they bowed on their knees and said, "Oh, hail the King of the Jews!" Mocking him. The one of them said, "Give me that reed," and they took that stick out of his hand and they started hitting him on the head with it. You say, "Well, you and I need to stop and think about what Jesus went through for us. He did all this so that we could be saved. He could have stopped it at the thought, but he allowed it to continue." And they took that reed and they began to beat our precious Savior in the face with a club. Those thorns would have been like nails being driven into his head. They continued, "Oh, you're the king, huh?" They struck him. They mocked him. They mocked his honor. "Hail, King of the Jews." They disrespected him. They dishonored him. It was disgusting what they did to him. They mocked his harmlessness. They mocked his house. They mocked his honor. And then they mocked his holiness. In verse 30, they then went and walked up to him, spit on him. They spit in the face of their Creator. They had fun with it. For a Jew to spit on anything, which really isn't much different to this day, was to show anger, hatred, disrespect, to... I was on a jury one time where a man was being tried because he spit on the police officer. And he faced serious jail time because this man knew he had diseases and he spit on the police officer and said, "Now you're infected." It's a way of contaminating someone else. Still, I don't know if you've ever been spit on purpose by someone. Now, if you sit in the front row, sometimes I'll spit on you. That's accident, all right? I've had twice in my life someone spit on me. Like, out soul winning one time in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, I had someone spit on me. I started knocked on their door, they opened the door, started telling them who I was visiting, they went, and slammed the door. Had it one time when I was a teenager, door-to-door visitation up in Dayton, someone spit on me. It's a sign of hatred, disrespect, anger. And they all walked up, took turns to their Creator, to their Savior, and spat on his face. He who is perfectly holy. Amen. With sinner, wretched man spit working its way down his brow and to his chin. They mocked his harmlessness. They mocked that house. They mocked his honor. And they mocked his holiness. When we hear what they did, as a believer, that should stir something in our hearts. As a believer, when we read about it, it should in some ways sadden us. It should in some ways frustrate and anger us what they did to our Lord. Not that you can, but if you could go back in time and knowing what we know and sit there and watch that, it would have been hard not to get involved in that. I mean, I am a wicked, rotten sinner just like you are. But if someone was trying to do all those things to me, I would hope there'd be a few people that'd say, stop. And I would do the same for you. Much less to know they did this to our Savior. And the Bible says, after they had mocked him, they took off that robe and they led him to be crucified. And what would follow from there was also a mockery. But I just want to pause and wrap this message up by saying this. As much as that should upset us, and it should, amen? As much as that should anger us that they did those things to our Savior, amen? But I want to ask you this question. Are we guilty of mocking the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I would never do those things. Well, let's stop and look. They mock number one. His harmlessness. He who is innocent did nothing wrong, amen? He was guilty of nothing. And the one who was guilty just walked on in his guilt as if nothing happened. Right? How many times I heard the gospel story while growing up and sitting in church, and I was guilty and I was lost and I was on my way to hell, and I heard what all my Savior did for me and how Jesus loved me and how God loved me and his Son came and died for me and paid the penalty for my sin and went through all of these things, and I stood up at the end of the service knowing I was lost and walked out guilty as could be. Right? Guilty as could be. But going on my merry way, ignoring the innocence of the one and the travesty of what had happened. I'm just throwing this out there. How many of you ever walked out of a church service lost and didn't get saved? I did. Anybody else? You walked out of it. Raise your hand if you walked out of a church service lost. I'm serious. Right? What were we doing? We're mocking what he did for us. Ignoring it. Now, I'm guilty. I'm telling you, I'm not casting any stones on anybody. I did that. But the reason I say it is I'm so thankful for the day that I stopped and in humility and I looked to God and I said, I'm the sinner, God. I believe your Son died for me and I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I repented of the sin that I was in and I asked the Lord to save me, and praise God, he saved me that day. Because they that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm thankful today that he who is perfect in innocence and pure and holiness and is harmless and only came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm thankful that I responded and accepted him as my Savior. Don't walk out today knowing that you're a sinner, having never asked Jesus to save you, and walk out the back doors and say, oh well, because that's no better than the travesty that was happened to our Lord that night too. To say, I know you're innocent, but I don't care. They mocked his harmlessness. But then, they mocked that house. There was a place that was ordained for security, for peace. A place that was ordained that was supposed to be an escape from everything that was outside there. The Praetorium. And I thought to myself, how many times do we take God's church for granted? Our church should be a place of refuge from the world. Our church should be a place of peace from all the wickedness that's out there. Our church should be a place where there's love and not hatred. Our church should be a place where people love each other, where people encourage each other and edify each other, where we can learn about the Lord and grow in the Lord, a place of refuge from a very wicked world that we live in. This ought to be a precious place to us. Amen? Don't mock it by bringing a wicked world into the church. Amen? Don't mock it by trying to bring division. And praise God, there's great unity in our church. And praise God, I'm not, this is called protecting. Because I don't want the devil to get in. We should not bring in sin and violence and wickedness and divisions and arguing and strife. That shouldn't be. By this, Jesus said, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. We ought to love each other, and we do. We ought to encourage each other, and we do. You know, I look at this auditorium. I'm thankful I can look at this auditorium and say, everyone sitting in these chairs, I love every one of you. And I'm thankful, to best of my knowledge, nobody's mad at somebody else. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for the unity in our church, but make no mistake, the devil would love to mess that up. The devil would love, and he could do it this afternoon if we let him. It's a mockery of the house of God to bring sin, strife, and division and hurt, and purposely hurting one another. That should never make its way into the house of God. That is a mockery. The Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. They mocked his harmlessness, and they mocked that house. And they mocked thirdly and fourthly his holiness. And my other H is honor. They mocked those two things, with his honor and his holiness. You say, well, I would never do what they did. Is it any worse to sit in church and have on your Sunday clothes and sing a song about the Lord, say amen, and walk out and cuss? That's a mockery. Amen. That's mocking his holiness. To sit in church and to hear the choir sing about the love of God and amen that, and then go home and live like a lost world. You know, it's sad. There's a lot of people that aren't in church, and they point at Christians and say, if you knew what they did to me, number one, or they say this, they say they're a Christian, I know how they live. That is a mockery to God. It's terrible. But I also want to say this, that's no excuse to get out of church. You say, yeah, but they said they're a Christian. Little newsflash. We're all sinners. A little newsflash. If you're expecting everyone in this auditorium to never make mistakes, you have an unreal expectation. And little newsflash, we don't come here and we don't serve God because of me or anybody else sitting in this room. You serve God because he's God. Amen. That's why we serve the Lord, because he is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our service. And we don't quit serving God because of somebody else. We keep on serving God because he'll always be God. But so many people mock his holiness. They mock his holiness by living a life that is contrary to he who we say we believe in. We mock his honor in that we claim the name of Christ, but we don't live that way. And all these different areas of holiness and what the people call standards and things. We don't do anything, and we shouldn't do anything to earn the love of God. God loves you no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you do. God will always love you. But those things should be a reflection of how much we love Him. That we want to honor Him. We want to walk with Him. We want to serve Him. We want every area of our life just to point people to how great our God is. And to live a life that is contrary to that is mocking who He is. I mean, to say you're saved or teach a Sunday school class or sing in the choir or just sit in church on Sunday and then go to your workplace and talk like they do, act like they do, steal like they do, be wicked like they are. Listen, that is a mockery. And I'm going to tell you this, it's worse than what they were doing. You say, what? They didn't know better. We do. They didn't sit in church every week and hear the truth. We are. And to treat God flippantly or pick and choose when we want to make Him important in our life is far worse than what they were doing. Amen. Because they didn't know. They were just doing their job. It finally dawned on one of them while he was sitting there and watching all of this and had been there the whole way as he's looking up and the sky turns black and he cries out, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And that man looked up, that Roman soldier, and said, surely, this is the Son of God. There was a thief hanging next to him on a cross that when Jesus was first hung there, he mocked him. He mocked him with the other thief. Said some wicked things about him. But as time went on that cross and the hours passed by, the one thief railed on him and started cursing Jesus, and the other thief had a change of heart. He had watched and seen and listened, and he looked at the other thief on the other side, and he said this, you don't know what you're talking about. And he cried out to Jesus hanging on the cross next to him and said, remember me. He believed on him. And that wicked man who just minutes ago was cursing Jesus, our great Savior said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a merciful God. Amen. So I say that to say, if you've been mocking Him, He'll forgive you right now. If you're here today and you're not saved, to walk out and disregard everything He's done for you is to mock our precious Savior. To be and claim the name of Christ, but to go on and mock His holiness and His honor or His house is a mockery to the things of God. I don't want to mock Him. When it says there, they mocked Him and said, Hail, King of the Jews, to leave this place and to go and live how we want to and ignore the word of God and not care. It's worse than all we're doing this morning. If that's your plan, is to leave this place and just to live how you want to and continue in what you know is sin and to continue doing what you know is wrong. If that's your plan this morning, you're worse than them. Because you're sitting here in an auditorium say, Hail, King of the Jews. He's my King. He's my Savior. And we sing the songs. And we praise the Lord for how great Thou art. But then the plan to walk out here and disregard Him the rest of the day and to disregard Him the rest of the week, quit fooling yourself. You're mocking Him. Amen. You're mocking Him. I don't want to mock Him. I've been guilty of mocking Him. I don't want to mock Him. He's wonderful. He's our Savior. Let's leave today honoring Him. If you need to be saved today, come, let us talk to you. If you need to get something right, the altar will be open. Come, spend time by yourself. Talk to God today. Let God help you today. But let's honor Him with our life and not mock Him.